Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Leo Effects. Today, I'm joined by a very, very special guest. I'm super excited to have him here. He's been doing this a lot longer than I have. Let me introduce my guest today. His name is Mickey Burns. How are you?
Ray, pleasure to be on your show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, we're going to jump right on into this. You're an interviewer yourself, right?
Yeah, that's what we do. We have a show in New York City called Profiles, and it's a celebrity interview program. It's been on for 20 years, and we recently celebrated our 500th episode.
Jeez, 500 episodes.
A half-hour program.
Wow.
And it airs 3 times a week on the NYC Media Network, Channel 25, and goes out to 20 million people in a 50-mile radius in New York City.
Jeez. And we kind of talked a little bit before. You're kind of in a little hub area with a bunch of other predominant talk shows.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, how we get all of our major celebrities is that we have relationships with their publicists. So when they have a new book, a new TV series, a new movie, they all come through New York City to promote it. And there's the Today Show, there's Good Day New York, there's Profiles, there's Sirius Radio, and a good publicist can get them, you know, six good shows in one day of pounding the bricks. And that's a lot of great publicity for their new venture.
Absolutely. What's it like being on camera doing all these interviews?
Well, I've always loved it, you know, and to be truthful, Ray, when you're doing the interview, you're not even, I'm not that aware that there's even cameras there. You know, you're so focused on the guest and you're so focused on trying to create a compelling interview that once the cameras start rolling, you're into your focus and you don't think about the cameras any longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you trust,
fair.
You trust camera people to do their job and, that's their end.
Mm-hmm.
My end is to create a compelling interview.
Gotcha. Now, how many interviews do you do on an average day?
Well, that's a great question because it varies. It depends on who's coming in. I mean, we do some days where if Engelbert Humperdinck is the only celebrity available, we do one interview. There are other days where we do 3 interviews. You know, it depends on their availability, when they're in New York, and when we can schedule them for the show.
Right.
But that system has worked for us for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have, and we're, like, they come to you. Like, you sit down to do this thing in front of the person.
Well, that's the difference. You know, we're an in-studio program. So our studio is in Times Square. And then we're right down the street from the Today Show. We're half a block away from where the Today Show films. And, you know, they have to show up at our studio, 10, 15 minutes before the interview and get comfortable and then sit there in our studio face-to-face for a 30-minute interview. That's the way it works.
Gotcha.
So usually we require like an hour from them. you know, sometimes they want hair and makeup. There's that 10-minute period before the interview where we get to know them a little bit and try to get them relaxed. And then afterwards, we usually have coffee, cake, and we always do photo ops with the celebrities that we can promote the episode with.
Nice. Have you ever had a difficult celebrity or a difficult guest come on the show?
Well, you know, most of them have been, you know, of the 500 or so episodes that we've done, most of them, I would say, not difficult. You know, everybody's personality is different, Ray, as you know.
Very much.
You know, and sometimes your expectations of what you think that celebrity is going to be like doesn't always pan out. You know, sometimes, I mean, like, for instance, Tom Jones, you see him on stage. In person, he's very shy. Has a very shy personality. You know, Eric Roberts, Julia Roberts' younger brother, is a great actor. You know, he was very pensive and he was very thought provoking and he was very slow in his answers to questions, which, you know, sometimes as an interviewer, you can't always control the way you want your guest to behave. You have to roll with it.
This is very true. So would you say then that he was the most memorable guest?
Oh, no, I've had so many memorable guests. I could tell you one story that was memorable.
All right.
And it's not always during the interview. Sometimes the most memorable part comes before and after the interview. That may sound strange, right?
No, it absolutely, that makes sense. I've had that happen many times.
One instance, we were interviewing on the show Joe Montana. Are you familiar with him? The quarterback, the four-time Super Bowl quarterback, Joe Montana?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had him scheduled. But for that interview, we had to go to his suite in a hotel in New Jersey because he was about to do a memorabilia signing the following day. So his publicist kept telling me, you know, Mickey, you have exactly 30 minutes and then he's got other interviews. And I said, no problem. That's great. And they said, show up at 4:30, set everything up, and he'll be there like 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's great. So we got there 4:30. We set up the camera, we set up the lights, and they put out a nice spread, you know, for us as well. And I said, this show business thing's not bad. You know, there was all kinds of cold cuts and salads. And I said, man, it's nice. At exactly 5:45, the door opened. Joe Montana was there with his publicist and his manager. And the first thing I saw, the manager's looking around the room, and then I could see him, you know, calling me over into the corner with a very serious look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to the corner and I said, what's up? And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, who ate Joe's dinner? I guess that setup of cold cuts wasn't for us. And the salads weren't for us. So at that point, I kind of felt like a kid with his hand in a cookie jar, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
And the moral to that story is, Ray, you can never assume anything, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But I actually started off my interview before the cameras were rolling with Joe Montana saying, Joe, I just got to apologize. You know, I feel terrible that we ate your dinner.
And, and how did he respond to that?
He laughed and he said, Mickey, you got to be kidding. He said, I would never eat that stuff. He says, I'm going out to a nice Italian restaurant after this interview. So we kind of bailed out, you know?
Yeah.
Either that or he was being very gracious. one or the other, Ray.
That's awesome. That is absolutely amazing.
And there's one other one. I'm going to tell you one. Do you have time for a real quick one?
Absolutely.
I think you'll enjoy it. Do you remember the actor? I'm trying to think what his name is now. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Eli Wallach.
There you go.
He was the bad. Well, the ugly. I don't know which one he was. But he was I had him on a show when he was 96.
Oh, wow.
And he was sharp as a tack. And he was, you know, he won Tony Awards. He was Oscar nominated. He's been in a ton of movies. So after the interview, Ray, he says, Mickey, take a walk with me. I said, it'd be my honor, Mr. Wallach. Where are we going? He says, take a walk up Broadway. We're going to the cobbler. I have to get one of my pair of shoes fixed. So on the way there, we're making small talk, and I said to him, I thought I would be funny, you know, and I said, Mr. Wallach, why are you going to the cobbler to get your shoes fixed? I said, you know, with a man of your means, why don't you go to Macy's and buy 10 new pair?
Yeah.
I was trying to be funny. And he grabbed me by the wrist in mid-stride as we're walking up Broadway. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, Mickey, I got to tell you, I grew up in the Depression. And he said, back then, we didn't buy new, we fixed old. And he said, I've never been able to shake that.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that. He was 96 years old, and he still had remnants of growing up during that difficult time in American history.
Right. That has to be just amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Jeez. Well, you not only, you kind of branched out a little bit from the interview TV scene, and you also have a book out, right?
Yes. The story I just told you about both Joe Montana and Eli Wallach are both in my book.
Oh, nice.
And the name of the book, and I'll tell you how I got inspired to write it. But the name of the book is From the Projects to Profiles, a Memoir by Mickey Burns. And it's basically an overview of my unlikely journey to success as a TV host in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a big thrill to accomplish writing a book. I didn't know if I would ever be able to do so. So it was a big thrill in my life accomplishing that feat.
Nice. Do you see yourself writing another book?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It was so hard writing this one. I spent most of my spare time for 14 months, you know, doing research, going back on old interviews, making sure that when I was quoting these celebrities that the quote was correct. I'll give you how painstaking it was. The last question I ask every guest on my show is, what do you hope your legacy will be?
Oh.
So what I had to hire some interns from, you know, college students and stuff to go back into all 500 episodes, go to the part of the interview where I asked that question and copy it down verbatim and double and triple check that the quote is correct.
Jeez.
And I can't tell you how long that took.
Oh my gosh. But what message do you hope your book delivers to the readers?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I just hope that being I grew up in the housing projects in Staten Island, because my parents moved there after World War II. You know, they all came back at that time from the war and tried to start a family, but now they were in their 30s, right? And they didn't have any education. That's why the GI Bill came into form.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no jobs, no education, and they're trying to make a life for themselves at 30 years old. So they were really getting a late start. My father actually spent 5 years in the Philippines fighting the Japanese during World War II. And by the time he got back to the States, he's 31 years old.
Wow. That's...
So, yeah, people don't understand that. I mean, they were the greatest generation, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and my father ended up getting a job as a city bus driver, and my mother got a job in the hospital as an EKG technician, and that's how they made their livelihoods. But we lived in the projects, and one thing you always want. I mean, growing up in a place like the housing projects in New York City during that time was not that bad. A lot of life lessons were learned there. But economically, everyone always wanted to get out. Everybody always wanted to better themselves. And it wasn't that easy sometimes. So education was one of the keys. And I used to say to my mother all the time, Mom, how do you feel about me going to college? Because nobody in my family ever had been. She said, that's a great idea. I would love for you to do that. But you're going to have to get a scholarship because we couldn't afford to send you.
Mm.
And that was the reality of those back in those days. So I used athletics as my way out and earned a football scholarship to a college called Missouri Valley. And that's how I ended up getting my education. And that was my ticket out.
Okay. And how is it that you went from college and football to being a TV personality?
Well, you know, I wanted, that's a great question, Ray. I always, when I was in college, I wanted to go into broadcasting right out of college.
Okay.
But that was BC. You know what BC stands for?
Yeah.
Before cable.
Yeah.
So what you had was, you know, you had throughout the country, you had ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe one local channel, maybe. And that was it. There was no 500 channel universe like we have today. So I was realistic. And when I came out of college, instead of pursuing my broadcasting career, I ended up going into teaching. And I was a teacher and a coach for a number of years.
Okay.
And then I ended up, some of my friends whom I played golf with worked at Fox Television in New York City.
It's all
and
about
one
golf.
Day, yeah, there's a true golf. And one day they said to me, Mickey, you know, because I also was an entertainer. I had a band and I was a singer. And I was very knowledgeable of sound equipment back then.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know, one of the guys that we worked with on the news crews is going on a 2-week vacation. Do you want to see if we can get you in to sub for him as the sound guy for the news crews? And it was summertime. And I said, you know, that would be a great idea. I would love that. And then what they wanted to go practice golf during their lunch breaks. That was their motivation, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That was the motivation. But I ended up doing it on a whim and always wanted to do it. But once I got up to Fox and saw the operation, saw how it was so exciting. You know, my first day there, I was assigned to go to City Hall. The mayor at the time, I think, was Ed Koch, and he had a new press conference. And as soon as we finished that, they said, okay, head up to Yankee Stadium and get some sound bites with the Yankees before the game tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
And there I am on the field. I'm on the field at Yankee Stadium getting sound bites from the players. I said, oh, my God, what have I been missing, you know? I always had the bug for the business, and it just turned out that I kind of got backed into it accidentally about 30 years ago.
Gotcha. Wow. All right. Well, that's a pretty interesting origin story.
Sure. Sure. and of course, what happened there, once I got into Fox, I was working there for a number of years, a couple of years, basically as a sub tech guy. That's
right.
What I was doing. Mostly sound on the actual news crews were out in the field doing the 6 and 10 o'clock news, you know? And then Rupert Murdoch came in. And he changed everything. He said, no more overtime. So all the guys that were making salaries were cut in half because they weren't making any overtime. So they said, well, let's get our own, let's form our own production team and moonlight on the side. And that's when I first got in front of the camera because they said, Mickey, you're going to be the host of the, because we had acquired a deal with Time Warner to produce they had a lot of connections. And we ended up doing a news magazine called Special Edition for Time Warner, and I ended up being the host of that show. And that's how I originally started as a talent in front of the camera.
Man, that's cool.
And that was 30-something years ago.
Yeah, talk about a series of fortunate events.
Yes. And then from there, you know, I guess I did a good and I was learning from the best at Fox every day.
Yeah.
That was my education. I was a sponge learning everything from the best in the business. And then from there, I was hired then by Time Warner to host another show like Larry. It was called Staten Island Live, which was like Larry King Live.
Right.
I hosted that. And then they had another show called Island View. I hosted that. And then some years later, as I was doing these other shows, Time Warner wanted to bring back Special Edition, the news magazine.
Right.
And I realized as I was doing that show, it had which I loved doing, which we used to go into Manhattan, and part of the news magazine was like a 4-minute celebrity profile. So like if Tony Orlando was in Smokey Joe's Cafe, we would run up there and get a little interview with him after the show.
Oh, and okay. We
would make, and there'd be a 4-minute celebrity profile. If Danny Aiello was at Sardi's having dinner and we knew he was going to be there, we'd go up there and get a 4-minute interview with him. And what I real quickly realized was that I never came back to the studio with a 4-minute interview. I came back with a 30-minute interview. We start talking to these celebrities about their lives and careers. They want to go on. They don't want to stop. They want to talk a little bit, you know?
Right.
So I said, geez, you know, there's very few shows that give these celebrities an opportunity to give a long, long form, like we're doing today, a
right.
long form to discuss their lives. And on television, you know, if you're on David Letterman, you know, it's a 5-minute thing, maybe.
Right.
You come
yeah.
in, do it, watch your latest movie, and you're out of there, you know? So I said, we should do a show that's long for a half hour that we can use these interviews in their entirety. And right from the start, the show was a hit.
Absolutely. I can see that.
People loved it. The celebrities loved it. And now 20 years later, it's still going strong.
That's amazing. What advice would you have for a brand new person getting into this kind of interviewing career path?
Wow. Wow. Well, I think the first thing is, I think that the opportunity is far greater. The opportunities today are unlimited from when I started out. You know, when I was able to get onto the NYC Media Network that has a viewing demographic in the millions, that was not an easy task. Today, I mean, between, you know, the podcasts, internet shows, and a 500-channel universe, if you can hone your skills and if you have talent, the opportunity is certainly there. You don't have to go looking very far for it. But as a talent individually, what I would say the most important thing is develop a style that's truly yours. You know, we don't need another Mickey Burns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need another Jimmy Fallon. We don't need another David Letterman. We had them. We have them already. You know, create something that is totally unique and is totally yourself. And that would, because I see people who try to do either singers or actors or TV hosts. And what they do is they get in and they try to, they emulate other people that are in the business, and they're not being themselves. And be special and be unique. That's the most important thing.
Right on. I like it. That's some great advice.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah. So this last little bit of the show, I'd like to open it up to you to let the listeners know about any social medias you might have to follow along with.
Sure. I mean, let's do the book first, because the book, where do you get the book?
Absolutely.
People always say, where do I get the book? And I keep the name of the book once more is From the Projects, the Profiles, a Memoir. And it's my journey from growing up in the South Beach Projects to my best memories and stories of my 500 episode journey on the TV show. And you can very easily acquire it by going to barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, or walmart.com. And, you know, you'll get it in 2 or 3 days. And very proud of the book. And it's easy to find. It's From the Projects to Profiles. And what was the other question, Ray? You asked me, if you'd like to see some of our interviews over the past 20 years, our older interviews are broken down into like 10-minute segments, and you can find them on YouTube. Just put in Profiles with Mickey Burns and interviews from the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. The most recent interviews, the network itself that we work for is NYC Media. And you can simply go to their website, NYC Media, easy to find. And then when you get to their site, it's a big conglomerate, hit television, and scroll down the shows until you get to Profiles. And when you do, you go to that part of the site. And I think they usually post 10 of our most recent shows in their entirety.
Nice. That's awesome. And you're on Facebook and all that good stuff too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Mickey Burns. I have two sites on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. It's
perfect.
Mickey Burns TV on Instagram and Mickey Burns on Facebook. easy to find, Ray.
Absolutely. And I'm going to make it even easier to find your book and your socials by putting links in the description of the podcast. So no need to worry about searching too hard.
That's great.
That's for all the listeners out there.
That's great.
Absolutely. So, Mickey, I want to say thank you so very much for coming on the show today and talking to me. You've been awesome. You're just like a cool cat to chat with.
I appreciate that. Did we use up the whole half hour already?
Yes, sir. Just like that.
Well, you're going to have me on again sometime because I have a lot more stories to share with you.
You know, anytime. That would be amazing. You were awesome to talk to. I'd have you back anytime.
Okay, Ray. And I want to say one more time, you know, thank you so much for this opportunity and, you know, continued success to you moving forward.
Thank you very, very much, Mickey. I really appreciate that. I do. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Make sure you click the links in the description to get that book. I'm going to go get one, so you better too. It's going to be a good read, I have no doubt. But thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time. Now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.